Turn with me in your Bibles, please, to Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1. In a moment, I'll try to read some from these verses of Scripture. But here of late, it seems like I've had some other things that I wanted to say just to lead up to it, and we'll do that first. Galatians chapter 1. This past Wednesday, Brother James Esser was with us, one of our missionaries. And I reminded our church, we support several missionaries. Don't forget about our board back there. We get letters from them. We post them there on the board. And out of all of our missionaries, we have four that are missionaries to the Native American Indians. The Native American Indians. Four of them. And Brother James is one of them. Brother Olin Williams, of course, he is a full-blooded Choctaw, and he's one of our missionaries out in Oklahoma. And Brother James and Brother David and Brother Brandon, they preach to the Choctaw out there and the, I think, the Sioux. And, well, different tribes come in for these meetings. And then, of course, there's Brother Olin Williams. He preaches to the Cherokee mainly. He's full-blooded Cherokee Indian. But all of these men preach to these Native American Indians. You don't have to go far to find people who need the gospel. And I'm going to tell you how we are about our missionaries here. They are worthy to be supported by prayer and by finances. We make certain of that before we ever take them on. We've had some to come in, and they left here, and it kind of left more of a question mark than it did a confirmation. And so we have not started supporting them. They may be good men, but God just did not seal it for us. You know, it just seems like the Lord, and He does. He knows exactly how to put His seal of approval, and He tells a church, I want you to reach out the gospel using these different men and their families who I strategically place around the world. Now, we're not a New Testament church if we're not doing that. Because a New Testament church spreads the gospel. We are evangelists, not just to the local, but to the sinners at large, people all around. We go everywhere preaching the gospel. That's what the Great Commission is. This is what Jesus, this is the word that He left with His disciples before His ascension. This is post-resurrection, after He had risen from the dead. And He said to His disciples, He said, go ye therefore and preach the gospel. And notice, please, the definite article that Jesus uses. He didn't say preach a gospel. He didn't say preach just any gospel. He said preach the gospel. The gospel of the grace of God. The Apostle Paul wrote to the church at Galatia, and he was greatly offended. This is one passage of Scripture in Galatians 1, began with verse 6 through verse 9, where you can sense there that there is electricity in the atmosphere. You can tell that the Apostle Paul is a bit agitated. He says in verse 6, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from Him that called you unto another gospel. He said, God calls you to His grace, to His gospel, and here come some old, sorry, low-down false prophets who began to preach lies and heresies to you, and you started following them. He said, now that blows me away. He said, I came down there and preached the gospel of the grace of God to you. I told you what the gospel is. I told you who the gospel is. I told you who the Savior is. I told you that you cannot save yourself, that God's the only one who can save you. And it don't come by being converted to Judaism. It doesn't come by circumcision. It does not come by baptism or any outward form. But rather it is the in working of God in you. God is working in you. It's by His marvelous grace that people are saved. God has chosen to bring sinners to Himself through Jesus Christ. You can't get there any other way. You can't join Welcome All Baptist Church and think I'm going to heaven now when I die. That's not the way it happens. You cannot be baptized by a legitimate God-called preacher and still go to heaven when you die. It don't work that way. The Apostle Paul said, Christ sent me not to baptize. Amen, but to preach the gospel, to declare the good news, the glorious gospel of the grace of God, because this is God's only means of getting to heaven. The only way we can get to God is through Jesus Christ. Now that may sound elementary to you, but I'm here to tell you when you begin to draw under that the sub-points and what you mean by that statement, there's where the division comes. In the first place, you can't have a part of Jesus, just the parts that you like, and dismiss the other. You got to have the whole Jesus. And any denomination, I don't care what it is, any religion who does not recognize that Jesus Christ is God Himself, those people are going to hell. You can't be saved unless you have a revelation of Jesus Christ. You got to know who He is. He said, I'm the door. I'm the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by Me. You don't get to Him by coming to an altar. People have made this nothing but a show up here. It's just a big sideshow where people come forward in a meeting so that somebody can count the noses and report, you know, to the preacher brothers during the brag session as to how many we had last Sunday, how many were in Sunday school, and how many got saved. In the first place, this altar can fill up with lost people. But if you come and ask me who got saved, I'll have to say, I don't know. We'll just have to wait and see. Amen. Why do you feel that way, Brother Tommy? Don't you take people at their word? No. I do not. Some people may think they're telling the truth, but they're telling a lie. That's right. I learned a long time ago not to trust nobody. You ain't got to get too many knives in the back before you find that to be true. Isn't that right, Jim? Amen. You got to be careful. You say, Brother Tommy, I trust my teenagers. I love my teenage children when they were teenagers, and I love my teenage grandyoungins, but I don't trust them. I'm going to let you in on something. Listen to me. The Apostle Paul made this statement in Philippians chapter 3. I'm going to have to read it to you. Can't quote it. It's so important that I'm not going to leave it without saying it. Here it is. Philippians 3 and verse 3. For we are the circumcision. Say, do you want to know what real circumcision is? It's not cutting off the foreskin. It's cutting down into that heart. That's where the problem is. It's not in Jewish circumcision. That's not the cure. He said the problem is in the heart. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, and it needs some work done on it by the divine surgeon. It's to cut into it because of the heart problem. And the prophet Jeremiah said, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? In other words, the biggest liar in all of Fruit County is the heart. People will say, follow your heart, follow your heart. It'll lead you to hell. You just got to go with your feelings. You just got to go with your heart. Let your conscience be your guide. Every bit of that is part of being a human being. And every part of human being is in a fallen condition, affected by the sin that Adam committed back yonder when he deliberately rebelled against God. Folks, you and I are a total wreck We're in a mess. Somebody said, all you got to do, there's a little bit of good in everybody. Just fan the flame of that good and it'll just burst forth in a roaring fire. There is not a lick of truth in that. Not a lick of truth in it. Paul said, for we are the circumcision. It's been so long since I saw it and I didn't know I was going to quote it this morning. We are the circumcision. Who is? He said, there's three identifying marks. He said, one, we worship God in spirit. If you're not a worshiper of God, you hadn't had that necessary work done on your heart yet. It is impossible to be saved and not worship God. Amen. You can't help it. You've got to. You may not worship outwardly just like everybody else, but there is some communicating going on between you and your God in that new heart that He's placed in you because you can't help but worship God. I knew when this happened the other day that it was going to be in some part of this sermon. I didn't know where. Here's a good place for it. This past Friday before we went to Hazelhurst, I went to Hoganville on Main Street in Hoganville. And I went out on the sidewalk. And of course, as you know, the different shops and businesses there, and some of them's got the showrooms in the front, you know, with the glass there. And I was window shopping, I guess. And I'm looking in it, and I come before one store. Some of you may know which one it is, but there was a cat in there, a cat. I'm not a big cat fan. Sister Linda is, and I think others are. I don't hate cats. I just don't trust them. I've had a few of them to bite me even when I'm down praying, Sister Joanne. Amen. But I don't hate them. Matter of fact, God must love them. And He must love dogs. And that big ocean, all those big oceans, that's God's aquarium. All them fish belong to Him. He must enjoy them. And so I'm not against animals. Matter of fact, I think you ought to be kind to them. I looked and I saw that cat. And the cat got a little bit excited when it saw me walk up to the window. And I put my hand up next to the glass. And the cat, Sister Linda, just, you know how cats will just rub up against you, you know, like they do. And it rubbed up against my hand. And it'd go that way and then it'd whip around. It'd come back and it'd rub this way and it back. It'd go up and it'd rub and it'd take its little face and rub my hand like that. And we had some communicating going on. But there was a problem. There was a glass. There was something between me and that cat. We could not really make good contact. And here I was, not a big cat fan, but I kind of wanted to rub the cat, to touch the cat, to communicate with the cat. And I want to tell you, folks, God's people want to communicate with God. They're on the same page with Him. God took them off of that bad page they were on, that horrible life they were in, and He put them on the page with Himself. And we don't want a glass or anything between us and our God. We want to feel Him. We want to touch Him. We want to experience Him. He is a God we cannot fully comprehend, but He is a God we can fully experience. Don't tell me you're a child of God if you don't ever have time for God. Don't work that way. Just don't work that way. And so Paul said, I didn't know I was going to be preaching this, but I don't care. I'm wide open to the Holy Ghost. Whatever He wants to say, that's what I want to say. He said, we are the circumcision which worship God in spirit. And then he said, second, we rejoice in Christ Jesus. That's number two. The second identifying mark of a true child of God who's had the work of grace done on his heart, her heart. We worship Christ Jesus. We worship Him We rejoice in Him. We enjoy Him. I'm like that old mountain preacher who said, when you get saved, he said, you'll be ruined in a good way. Amen. Can't be happy with the world no more. As a matter of fact, as you mature in Christian faith, you find yourself becoming less and less interested and occupied with the route that this evil world has taken. You find yourself not wanting to be a partaker of their evil deeds. You find yourself not enjoying their filthy jokes so much anymore. And not appreciating their nakedness. Everything else that is contrary to the Word of God and the will of God. The closer you get to heaven, the more attractive Christ and heaven itself is. And the more you long to pass from faith into sight. That's just the way it is. Say, Brother Tommy, I wasn't brought up learning it that way. Well, you're brought up learning it the wrong way then. There's a distinction between God's people and the world. God makes that distinction. Makes a different atmosphere around you, wherever you are. We are the circumcision which worship God in spirit and rejoice in Jesus Christ. And look at that third one. That's the one I'm trying to get to. And we have no confidence in the flesh. So you thought I'd done gone off chasing rabbits. No. He said we have no confidence in the flesh. Trust my teenagers. I don't even trust me. I have no confidence in the flesh. That's one reason. Not only have I cast all my care for salvation upon the Lord Jesus Christ, and I don't attempt to help Him in any way to save me, because I don't trust me with that. But not only that, I realize on a daily basis I need Him every moment of the way because I don't have any confidence in this flesh of mine. I have told you, and I'm telling you again, I am my own biggest obstacle. When I look at this ugly mug every morning in the mirror and comb my hair and try to get dressed and get ready for the day, I'm looking at my own worst enemy. His name is Thomas Allen McElroy. You think the devil has time for us? We're not that big on the totem pole yet, folks. He's got other things he has to take care of. And he is not omnipresent. He's not in all places at the same time like God is. You and I have got a big enough ball and chain on every one of our own legs, being our own flesh and our own self, that we've got enough to deal with just trying to conquer ourselves. I have to beg God daily, Lord, save me from me today. Save me from my flesh today. Please, God, set a watch before my mouth. You know stuff comes out sometimes that ought not come out. I don't see a halo in the building. I believe we're all under the gun. And we're all having these same kind of battles. And Brother James Esser, I knew I'd get back to him after a while. He got in that pulpit Wednesday night, and you know what he preached? He preached the gospel of the grace of God. He took a stand for the gospel, and he also warned us about that other gospel. In so many words, he warned us about the heresy, the error that is being propagated on a worldwide scale, that the great host of religious people who don't know God have embraced. And it's just, all it's done has dulled and deadened their conscience and blinded their eyes that they cannot see the truth of God. It is a bunch of blind people following a bunch of blind preachers. And Jesus said they all wind up in the ditch, in the pit. You say, Brother Tommy, it seems like you're kind of agitated. I am a bit. I'm like the Apostle Paul. If you ever see what it's doing to this generation, it'll agitate you. It'll aggravate you. I'm not mad at y'all. I just feel like I ought to warn y'all. I asked God again, I think it was this morning, maybe yesterday, God, please help me and help every man of God to do what the prophet said. Lift up our voice like a trumpet and warn people of sin and error and heresy. I heard Brother James Esser preach that, and he and I had not talked about what I've been preaching in this church, but he's preaching the same message. And when he got on, I told the church, it is so good to know that our missionaries are on the same page with us. Hallelujah. I believe we'll keep supporting that man. Amen? Yes, sir. Praise God. That's such a blessing. There are three things, folks, that I'm determined to do by the grace of God as long as I am on this earth planet with the call of God on me. Three things I am determined to do by God's marvelous grace, only by Him helping me and enabling me. Proclaim the pure gospel of Jesus Christ. That's first. Proclaim the pure gospel of Jesus Christ. The most astounding verse in all the Bible to me. You know what it is? The verse that blows me away every time it comes to my mind. I can't grasp it. It's beyond my ability. You might as well bring a worm up here and try to get that worm to comprehend a man as to be able to get us to fully comprehend this thought and this truth, because it speaks of God, and our God is above and beyond us. But here's the verse that blows me away. 2 Corinthians 5:21. He tells us how sin are saved in that verse. He tells us that the grace of God can only be imputed to us by the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And listen how he said it. He said, for He, God the Father, hath made Him, God the Son, to be sin for us. The Father made the Son to be sin for us. The one who knew no sin, He became sin for us, He said, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Now, that's what it means to get saved. It means the Father, God the Father, took my sin, and the Scripture uses this word, imputed, that is, credited my sin to the account of Jesus. This is as clear declaration of the gospel as I think we can find anywhere in the Bible. The Father took my sin and put them to the account of innocent Jesus. And He took Jesus' perfection, His righteousness, and imputed or charged His righteousness to me, to my account. My sin on Him, His righteousness on me. Now, folks, that's how you get to heaven. There ain't no other way. There's no other way to be saved. God has to do that. You can't do it. A preacher can't do it. A soul winner can't do it. A sinner's prayer can't do it. Any form of a man can't do it. It is altogether a work of God. He's the only one who can do that. The day God saved you, Brother Ronnie, God Almighty took your sin and He placed your sin on the Lord Jesus. Jesus died for you. He took Jesus' perfection, His righteousness, and placed it on you. Until then, you made God sick when He looked at you. You were ugly, awful. God can't have anything to do with sin. He's holy. But He took the perfection of Jesus and put it on you. Ephesians 1:6, we are accepted by God in the Beloved One, the Lord Jesus Christ. You didn't earn it. I didn't earn it. This is what I'm going to proclaim till the day I die. The day God takes me home. And you can forget it. You can forget it if you think for one minute when we get to heaven the gospel ain't going to be preached anymore. I don't believe a word of that. Because the gospel is not just for lost people. It's for the nourishment of the saved. It's to nourish our faith. It is to cause us to make progress. And when you and I get to heaven, while we will be brought into the image of Christ, yet we will continue to make progress as the grace of God is revealed to us throughout eternity. I believe preaching will be taking place in heaven. I really do. I believe I will hear Charles Spurgeon preach. I believe I will hear George Whitfield preach. I believe I will hear Jonathan Edwards preach. And I'll go ahead and serve notice on you now. When I hear them preach my blessed Redeemer, I'm going to shout and praise God. That is not going to be a dry, dead service. Hallelujah! I love preaching. Wish I could do it. But I love it. Ain't nothing like it. That's sheep food. Brother, it's time for the sheep to come and graze when the preaching begins. When the Bible's opened. Till the day I die, by the grace of God, I aim to proclaim the pure, and I emphasize that word, the pure gospel of the grace of Jesus Christ. Proclaim it. I'm not going to try to add anything to it. That'll contaminate it. I'm not going to contaminate it. I'm going to leave it pure. I ain't going to water it down. It's going to be pure. I'm not going to try to use the world's means to do it. I want it to be pure. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. God has chosen to manifest His Word through preaching. I'm just telling you, that's what the Bible says. I'm an old man and I about lost my mind. But these truths keep coming back, even in all my senile state. These truths keep coming back. They're still in the Bible. Every time I open the Bible, there they are. Number one, by the grace of God, I want to proclaim the pure gospel of the grace of God. Number two, I want to promote the pure gospel of the grace of God. That's all I got to promote. I am not going to promote my own agenda, my own cause, my own goals, and I'm not going to promote yours. I'm going to promote the gospel of the grace of God. I want to keep this front, forefront, utmost, above, top priority. This is it, above everything else, the gospel of the grace of God. I'm going to promote it. I'm going to promote it. Hallelujah! Keep promoting it. I'm going to proclaim it. I'm going to promote it. Number three, I'm going to protect it. That is, defend it. The Apostle Paul said it that way. I know I've heard people, and you've heard them say, you don't have to defend the Word of God. Just turn it loose. It's like a roaring lion. It'll defend itself. I understand that, and I appreciate that. But when we defend it ourselves, when we stand in agreement with it ourselves, we are showing this world whose side we're on. And I'm not ashamed. I want everybody to know whose side I'm on. I want everybody to know that I believe in the sovereignty of God. I believe in biblical divine election. I believe in predestination. I believe, praise God, in spiritual adoption. I believe in justification by faith through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe that we are forgiven of our sins by the shedding of Christ's blood. I believe that we are reconciled to God through that Christ has made peace for us with God through the blood of His cross. I believe in the death of Christ. I believe, first of all, in the virgin birth of Christ. I believe in the sinless life of Christ. I believe in the vicarious death of Christ. I believe in the glorious resurrection of Christ. I believe in His ascension. I believe He's seated at the right hand of the Majesty on high. And I believe, praise God, at the proper time He's coming back. They couldn't keep Him dead, and they can't keep Him gone. Hallelujah. I love the gospel. You can quit, and I believe, praise God, you ought to line up with the Word of God, and you ought to have convictions about things, and you ought to stop doing some things when you get saved, and start doing other things when you get saved. But at the same time, you can quit everything on this earth planet and still go to hell when you die. Salvation is not just turning loose of sin. It's turning on and grabbing the Lord Jesus Christ and embracing Him. When it comes time to leave this world, folks, I think I'll quit with this. When it comes time to leave this world, it's going to be kind of like, you know, the Scriptures talk about, you know, crossing Jordan. People talk about, and they sing about, you know, the waters of death, go down into death, chilly waters and all this. And I don't know how much like that it is. I have no idea. But there's one thing for certain. If we are kind of like going out into the waters, if you are carrying the wrong gospel with you, it's going to be like carrying an anvil, a huge weight. You'll go under, friend. You will go under, and you will experience the terrible wrath of Almighty God. I don't care if you are a member of the church. That's the way it is. But if you got the real gospel, if you got the real thing, it's like putting on a life vest. They can't nothing under the waters snatch you under. You'll be safe and secure. You will not drown. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Lord, You'll be with me, praise God, when it comes time to leave this world. Hallelujah. Was it Brother Bunyan or Brother Spurgeon? I forget which one it was. Maybe Brother Bunyan was talking about when it's time to leave this world. I love how he put it in the Pilgrim's Progress. In those last few pages that told of his Christian journey through this earth as a genuine child of God and all the battles and heartaches and difficulties he experienced all along the journey. But he finally came to that place where it was time to cross over. Beautiful description of it. I forget which one of them it was, but somebody said something about, when I get to that place and make that crossing, he said, I'll enter through the gates into the city. He said, there will be the great choir singing praises unto God. And he said, I'll see an empty spot in that choir. And I'll know it's my spot. Can't nobody sit in my spot. Can't nobody wear my crown. Can't nobody wear my robe. Can't nobody pluck my harp. That's all reserved for me. And it'll be empty till I get there. And he said, I'll walk up into that choir. And I'll stand in my spot. And I'll pick up the song, the words of the song, right along with the rest of the choir. He said, I know that I'll know the song because I've been singing it every step of the way in my journey. Hallelujah! What a great day that's going to be. That's just right around the next bend. Just around the next bend. Almost home. Sometimes I think I can see the porch light on. Hallelujah. Just about there. Hold on, church. Just a little bit longer. We're going to be reunited, praise God. Sister Rosie, I'll hear her shouting, praising the Lord. I'll say, that's Sister Rosie. I know that voice anywhere. Brother Ed, praising God, worshiping God. Sister Krista, my own dad, my own mom. Glory to God. Folks, isn't that going to be wonderful? And we're going to hear some other voices, and I'm going to say to myself, I know good and well I ought to know that. Who is that? And she's going to come run up to me and say, Uncle Tom, I'm Amy. Uncle Tom, I'm Jackson. Uncle Tom, I'm Victoria. Papa, I'm Jackson. Little grandbabies. Hallelujah. They'll be right there in glory. And we'll worship God together with our family throughout eternity. No, we didn't come here to mourn our defeats. We came here to celebrate our victories in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's stand together and we're going to pray.